With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hi, Dad, it's Helen. I was just thinking about, remember that really funny time when it was my 13th birthday and we had a digital camera and I took pictures of all me and my friends having a really good time, and then you deleted them all so you could have space to take more pictures of a sewage plant you were going to visit, and you just replaced them with literal pictures of poo. How funny was that? Call me back.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me. Darren Harrier doesn't have a foreskin.
I don't, yeah. I lost it when I was nine.
Darren, need to catch up before you start talking as a guest. So shut your mouth, drink your Coke.
Then we'll get to your foreskin.
But I do want to hear about your foreskin.
Hello.
Can I just make a guess that Darren had a foreskin but he ripped it off himself?
Yeah.
He was bored when he was three and was like, fuck it, I'll see if I pull on this, what happens.
He didn't get his own way.
Yes, it was like, I'll rip off my foreskin, Mum, I'll fucking do it. That's how most boys lose it, but people don't talk about it. One of the tragic things in our society, and that's the real meaning of toxic masculinity. Yeah.
Sad.
God. Well, you can tell that me and Rosie have spent like the last 3 hours having the deepest life chats ever.
Oh my God, yeah, it got deep. How are you, Helen?
You know what? I feel really good.
Yeah, I do. I keep writing short stories.
This is what I want to talk to Rosie about.
Yeah.
Because she's actually got into writing short stories.
Yeah.
Which I think is adorable, but also comes from a childhood of writing.
Oh, yeah. So basically, my agent is bugging me to write a few treatments, a few comedy scripts. Mm-hmm. So my way to rebel all those deadlines is to write these like teenage angst short stories. And I was in a bar yesterday, brackets.
Sorry, Darren just looked at his phone, which is absolutely mental.
Rude.
Let's introduce our guest today. It's Darren Harrier, who's being really rude.
How's that
she's
rude?
Because she's speaking our truth.
Yeah, I had a message come through.
Well, why are you even like looking at it when you're in a podcast?
Guys, I was born in 1988. I'm a millennial. I need my phone for directions.
Do you think we're not millennials?
I don't know.
Why are you looking at porn?
I don't know how old
right
you are. You're German. You guys age different.
That is so offensive. The people that age differently.
You opened with talking about my foreskin.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't have one and you brought that up.
Yeah, I don't. It's not weird. It's normal.
Sorry, Rosie. Do you want to keep talking about your angst and your truth instead of Darren over like?
Yeah, Rosie.
You?
Keep talking about your shorts because you're the talented one at the duo.
Oh.
Coming in hot. It's coming in hot.
Whoa.
Right, Helen's crying right now and trying to pull off our own foreskin.
Oh, rude. Rude.
I know. You tell us about your fantasy things you write, Rosie.
Right. So I was writing a short story, but in a public place. I was in Soho Theatre.
Shocker.
And I don't know how, but my short story quickly became Essentially erotic.
Yes, please.
So it always starts.
How can you not write erotica when you've got a view of a box office? Like ticket sales for a comedian is like climaxing, right?
Yeah.
So like they just bought some tickets. So I can see how
and
you got
then,
there.
Then my friend came over and was like, "Oh, what you writing?" And never shut my laptop so quickly.
It's like when you're caught like watching something, you're like, cut.
I tell you what happens to me sometimes when I open my laptop in public, I've got porn. I've got porn on a tablet.
You know what trips me up, because I'm quite good about closing it and like clearing my history, but it's a pop-ups.
Oh yeah, they hide behind
you open up like a private viewing screen.
Yeah.
And then that can stop. Usually you've got the thing you were doing before you started.
You ever clicked off all the tabs and I just see like a woman staring at me on a webcam?
Waving for a webcam.
I'm like, how long have you been there, dude? Like, I thought you were gone. Some chick.
It always feels like they're watching and they can actually see me, even if I've got a Disney princess sticker over my camera. Like, I'm not a moron with it.
That is true, actually. I don't cover my camera on my laptop.
Cover your camera.
It's too late now. There's thousands of jerk-offs of me.
No, but why yet anymore?
I mean, there's already 1,000. What's another 1,000?
Yeah, but why are you like, do you feel like they could make, by what you're searching?
They could make stop animation porn off my facial expressions, dude. Oh, yeah, you know, because I saw Mark Zuckerberg, he has like a plastic thing over his, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's smart. Everyone does it. I can give you a sticker.
Have you really covered your... I feel like I should... It's too late.
No, it's not too late.
I haven't. I quite like the
thrill. But the thrill of being watched.
I jerk off at like a good level. So like...
What do you mean it's a good level to jerk off?
So like, okay. So I generally have my... it's great to be on a podcast, by the way. I generally have my laptop on my bed. I'm off my bed on my knees. So the most it's going to get is...
It's really sad.
How's that sad?
I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, that's all jerk off praying.
Imagine a Victorian child on the side of her bed. Like,
please, sir, can
God
I have some more?
Money and daddy.
That is how I jerk off.
Why are you on the floor?
I just find it easy to jerk off on my knees. Standing up's horrible. How can you jerk?
Why are you standing? Why aren't you just lying down?
Yeah. Girls lie down. A girl can't jerk off on her knees. That's weird.
Yes, we can.
You can't flick the bean on your knees.
I once masturbated whilst treading water in the sea. Do you want to talk about your foreskin anymore?
I mean, why not? I'm proud of it.
How did it fall off?
Well, I'll give you the short, and this probably fits in with the theme of the podcast, I guess.
Theme? Your foreskin? Thank you so much for coming.
No, honestly, it's a pleasure. Joy to behold. When I was 18, I lost my virginity like a cool kid.
I don't know what to say to that, mate. I mean,
it's so late. At that point, it was almost like I was waiting to see if it was like going to be a thing. I was like, you know what, guys? I'll wait until people if they're still having sex by then. And I lost my virginity in a park next to a KFC.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Darren.
I know, I'm from Albury, Black Country.
Great.
And it was great. Not the sex, the KFC. Jack
air punching in the corner.
Damn right, Jack. That was for you, bud. And because I didn't wear a condom, because, you know, live a little. I didn't wear a condom on my first time. Oh, come on, what are you going to do? Go to a poker table and not bet? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go to the Grand National and not put a bet on? Come on. Live a little. Anyway, I was panicking that I had an STD, because that's what you do in it when you lose it. So I went to the nurse and I went to the hospital and I said,
I mean, like the day after.
I think when they turned the open sign, like.
I'm ready.
I'll use your milk. I think I got an STD, you know, I lost my virginity. They saw my dick and there was so much skin, like it was it was like, you know how you obviously pull the skin back, couldn't do that. It was like, it was literally like a trunk, and I never realized it was like a problem, because I remember when I had sex it hurt because of all the skin that I had, so I just thought that was sex, that's God punishing me for not being married, you know. And And then the woman said, oh, well, you know, do you mind if we try and like pull it back? And they couldn't get anything back. And then, 6 months later, I got it cut off.
So what was it, like too tight?
Way, like a sleeve, literally over your fist. Ooh. And you couldn't pull a little bit. But it turns out, because my dad wasn't really around, my dad's family, they're like, I call them Jewfarians, so they're like Jewish heritage, but they're like Rastafarians. My dad and them were all circumcised. My dad wasn't around. I would have been circumcised as a kid. So I had to get it done when I was 19. And I've decided that if I have a son, he's not leaving that hospital until that's gone.
Yeah.
Like as a newborn?
He has got no choice because I know that he's going to have... Yeah. Yeah.
I think let him like breastfeed for a bit before.
Nah, dude. You get no titties until that's
gone. Yeah.
I'll go into the canteen and go, can I get a potato peel? I'm about to change my son.
You know what? What you've done is you've created a barrier around yourself. And you're like, my name's Darren. I'm going to talk about circumcision. Lol, 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 lol. Joke, joke, joke. Look at my cap. I'm drinking a Diet Coke. I'm living my best life.
Thank you.
Take it off. You know, take off this mask. Pop your foreskin back on.
Who is... the Darren under the foreskin.
Tell us about you when you were younger.
Me when I was younger. I was a fun kid. I was very fat, very overweight.
Cute.
Aww, that's brute. One of the things about being fat that really sucks when you're like under the age of say 12 is that everything, nobody has personalities then.
Yeah.
So if you remember, the most important thing was like who could run the fastest.
Yeah.
And that was so important back then. Who could run the fastest, who could jump the highest. And when you're just a fat kid, it's brutal, man. Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Did you guys play that game Kiss Chase?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the most brutal game ever. Yeah. It's part of my show, and I remember just like being the big fat kid and I had to try and kiss the girls and they would freeze and you tag them. But because I was a fat kid, none of them would kiss me. And because I was the fat kid, I couldn't chase them. So I would. I was just the guy who would. We're getting deep now. I was just the guy who would like free my much prettier, more, you know, 30 waist friends from the girls. And then I thought in my head that if I kept freeing all the guys and being a menace in this, that the girls would go, well, we've got to kiss Darren because clearly Darren is stuffing. And they did not. I remember one time I actually caught one of the girls and I went to kiss her, and you've never seen a more horrified person.
No.
That's the thing, because we're like, so in Britain, we don't really have the whole cooties thing. We're aware of it from TV, but we don't really have it. But you still have that same culture of like, don't kiss them. Disgusting.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Even when I was in high school, I remember, it's so weird what happened. So me and my friends, especially when we was like trying to be gangsters and all that, we really followed the code of like, any girl who sucked a dick is disgusting. Mm. Did you guys have that? So we'd call girls who gave guys blowjobs shiners.
No, and we didn't have that.
That was the biggest insult. We'd be like, don't share a cigarette with her. She's a shiner. And that was...
I've never heard of this
before. You've never heard that?
Never heard shiner.
Really? Yeah, shiner, dick sucker, anything like that. And it was... And obviously, we were all virgins. We never even kissed a girl.
Yeah.
And don't even talk about going down on girls and stuff. You might as well, back then, for us, have said you were just gay because you would have got the same level of bullying if you said that you went down on... It was mad when I think about the... Because we went by gangster logic, and even like there was an episode of The Sopranos where Sopranos. Junior goes down on this girl who he's seen and all the mob bosses find out, and he ends up having a go at her and shoving food and yelling at her because she told them, and then he went, why don't you go back down on your girlfriend? And in the mob, that wasn't allowed. You couldn't talk about going, because they used to say it's seen as giving head, which was like a bad thing.
Yeah.
So even in the mob, as grown men, they talk about decapitating people, but don't you dare talk about going down on a woman. We don't talk about that here. So even as high school kids, any girl who we thought even gave a blowjob would get the piss taken out of her.
Yeah.
And any guy who
This is so different to my experience.
Oh, really?
I didn't know about going down on a girl or licking out until I was older. You gave guys blowjobs.
Oh, really?
You had sex with them. You did stuff for them. Yeah. And all you got was a finger. you got fingered.
See,
that was
that's
it.
A similar
I didn't
thing.
Even know about licking out.
That's,
I didn't.
That's a similar thing. I never went down on girls till I was like in my early 20s. I was very late to the game.
And
I
it's
still
my favourite thing is being licked out in the whole
of
world.
Of course it is. Yeah.
It's the best thing of all time.
But my mentality was still very much from when I was in high school and how it was seen as like the worst. Even as grime MCs who talk about how they don't go down on girlfriends. Even guys like Skepta have what? Songs about it. Where they, of course they do, but they talk about, I ain't no, the term was bocat. Bocat yeah. was the term. I ain't no bocat means you don't lick pussy. And even then, it always stuck with us as that. It's crazy. Even now with some of my friends, they wouldn't talk about it. They go, oh, no, I don't do that.
No.
And I'm 30. They're 30.
Darren, do you want to clear this up right now? Do you go down on women?
Yeah.
He's a feminist, ladies yeah. and gentlemen. He's a fucking feminist.
Yeah.
Thank you for being an ally and a great guy. Right, Darren, so what you've done here is we start talking about little you and you were fat and now you've turned it into a story about how you have sex with women.
Yeah.
We get it. You're sexually active. Congrats, fucking well done.
Well.
Tell us about little fat Darren. Do you think you got enough attention? Do you think you got the attention you wanted? Do you think you became a comedian from needing attention when you were younger? Crushed it. Question wise, Helen and Bauer. Go! Jack, did that just peek in your ear?
Yeah. Yeah, welcome, Jackie.
Did I think I got...
Clappy.
I'm a vocal woman.
Oh, wow.
Well, women can't speak loudly now, can they, not, Jack?
Did I think I got the attention that I wanted when I was younger? I would say probably not, because my brother was the cool one. He was the one.
Sibling.
Older, 2 years older. He was the footballer. Yeah. He was the thin one. He was the good looking one.
Good at kiss chase.
Great at kiss chase. Oh, he could get them as well. But my brother, this is how cool my brother was, right? My brother in 2003, so just think of the time, you see a lot of black kids now with their hair dyed blonde
yeah.
at the top?
Yeah.
My brother had that for 2 years in school. In 2002, 2003.
And also, again, he had the eyebrow swipes as well.
Oh, we all had our eyebrow slit, honey. Yeah.
My Nike drawstring? What are we at here? Nike drawstring bags?
Nike drawstring at JD bags. Right. Plastic bags.
Oh, yeah.
Wallabies,
yeah.
of course. He even tried to wear the white Wallabies. The school wouldn't allow him.
Mate.
Wallabies were the working class kids' way to look cool because they were only £20. And Rockports were so damn expensive, man. No. I didn't have £210 to get Rockport Millennium. Fuck off.
This is so throwback. It's so tragic, though.
Give me those Wallabies now. They made me so cool.
So your brother was older than you, 2 years older.
Yeah.
And were you aware of him getting more stuff than you? Like him being
completely.
Like healthier, fitter?
Put it this way, you think about when you go to school, my brother was already in year 9 when I came in year 7.
Yeah.
So I was his uncool fat brother. Who was just turning up there, and he was already on a football team. He had football trophies. He was the most popular, and he was tough as well. So I was kind of just like his nerdy little like, hey, Danny,
what was
US
your
brass.
Thing though? So if you weren't 40, did you have a thing?
No, I would say that year 7, everybody remembers
eating
stuff in your fucking face.
You know what?
Was your thing.
Honestly, stuff in my face.
Emotional overeating.
And then 13, when I started with the gang and everything, that was when I started to come into my own of being, okay, quite cool and having more of a sense of a purpose. But I definitely felt like because of my lack of dad being around, and my dad was dead by then, I definitely felt like I needed that attention. And it went all the way through school. And then my most sort of depressed I've ever been was after I left high school when I went to college, because high school my dad died in March 2000, and then I started high school September 2000. So I never really had time to deal with my dad's death.
No.
I just, you know, you're in high school, you meet new friends, puberty, lessons, and as soon as that daily, you know, five times a week school ended, I was at college and I was like, oh shit, what do I want to do with myself?
Yeah.
I was depressed, and then I found a flyer for like a comedy thing, and then that was how I started at 18, got into comedy.
But you hadn't done like anything before, like were you in drama society?
No, I was just big into drama near the last day of school. That was like my favorite subject was drama.
Yeah. Oh my god!
And then I went to college and did a BTEC drama course.
Yeah, don't do that face. I fucking love that.
Yeah, I dropped out immediately. It didn't work out. And then nothing outside of the school or like the college.
You were in a nativity.
Nativity. I was Fat Jesus. No, was that? No, Joseph, Fat Joseph.
I'm about to say, Jesus is played by a doll around the whole country.
I was
like,
Fat
why
Joseph.
Like, could you imagine, like, just 2 4-year-olds picking up another 4-year-old being like, this is our baby.
Big head.
So you got cast as the lead?
Yeah.
I guess so, in my nativity, yeah.
Congratulations.
I also remember maybe a year or two after that, when I was about 7, I played, we did a thing where everybody had to pretend to be like a celebrity or something on stage. Yeah. And I remember being so nervous. I played Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
I was Muhammad Ali and I had to wear a vest. And because we couldn't get a box, I wore a string vest, like some sort of broke yardie. And I went to go on stage, these boxing gloves going, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And I remember being so nervous about that because I was fat in a vest. Yeah. And I was like, this is Muhammad Ali.
At seven and you were body conscious.
You want to talk about body conscious? Why do you think I can't swim? I have no idea how to swim because when I was six, we used to do swimming classes. I was the fat kid. You know, you know when you see a six-year-old kid and they've got like they've got like titties because like they haven't, hormones haven't kicked in yet, and so they've still got pointy tits.
Yeah.
I was the pointy tit kid. And then when I used to do...
I would have loved you so much.
Oh my God. Did I?
So
I've got
cute.
A picture. If you want to see a picture of me,
you're going
to
send it to us. We're going to put it on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Fat Darren is brutal. I've got a few Fat Darren pictures, man. So you can get a quick vibe. Yeah. What happened was I then ended up doing security at a leisure center not that long after. And I saw a kid who reminded me of me. And he was doing the classic I'm fat sitting down at the edge of the pool with all of his topless, skinnier friends.
Yeah.
He had his arms folded to cover up his tits.
Yeah.
All of his mates were sitting there. He had his arms really...
Oh, I know every trick.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw it and I tell you, a piece of me died. I was like, that was me.
I would move a lot as a teenager when we went swimming or something like that. I would try and always be moving or in the water so no one got a chance to look at me.
Bottom left, obviously.
Oh! Yeah, okay, if anyone's listening, go on to Daddy Look At Me Instagram right now.
Brutal,
and we're
going
to upload the cute. You are so sweet!
Can I show you a better one of me, though? I feel like that's a brutal picture of me. Like a
it's cute, Daddy.
Do you want to see how badly one can fall? Oh, let me find that picture.
Show me.
Oh, look at this. Absolute G.
Wait, are you the little
that
one?
That little one, that's my brother.
You're
there.
So cute, yeah.
Right? Look how cute that kid is. I've got my little bow tie on, my little dummy. And then my nan gave me dumplings and it all just went downhill.
Don't blame your nan for your compulsive overeating, my sweet boy. You were eating so you lost your foreskin too late, okay?
Brutal,
you knew you had part of your body that wasn't supposed to be there. You were eating to compensate for that.
I remember going on crazy fad, diet fads in school.
Oh my God, preach.
I'll tell you the one I remember as being the crazy one. Do you remember... God, I wish I'd just... it'd be amazing if we had like proper internet back then because, you know, it's very different now. I feel like now if a kid wants to try and lose weight, you know, there's YouTubers, there's Facebook, you can, you know. I remember thinking, right, I don't want to eat. I remember thinking if I don't eat, I'll lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as long as I don't chew. So what I did was...
Dry swallow.
Do you remember fridge yogurts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those little yogurty... And they come in like banana, milkshake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had... 4 of those a day.
Darren. No.
For 96 hours. And I did 96 hours of not eating any food and just drank like 4 of them a day.
What?
I think one was for breakfast, one at lunch, one at the end, one before bed. And I managed to last 96 hours to try and lose some weight. And I remember just feeling
that's
like...
That's a really fatty, sugary drink as well.
Yeah, but I... it wasn't a great choice.
I remember that's exactly, but it is that age of sort of like you're so aware of your body.
Yeah.
And thing is, like, we talk so much from this podcast about like you want attention all the time and you always want people to give you attention. Mm. But thing is, the negative attention you get doesn't mean that like you love that. Like, but I got it because I was definitely like, I wasn't an overweight teenager, but I felt like I was because I wasn't stick thin and that was enough. And I was bigger than most of my friends for it. And I look back at photos now and I'm like, oh my God, you were thin. What were you even worried about? But like, I remember walking to school with groups of girls and like them saying to each other, oh, I'm just not eating lunch for a while. And that's how I'm going to lose weight. And we were all completely fine with it. And I remember when the Special K thing came out. Do you remember this?
Oh,
there was a massive campaign. Yeah. You have a small bowl of cereal for breakfast and a small bowl of cereal for lunch and you will lose weight.
Yeah, and that was a woman putting on a jeans, weren't it? Yeah. I remember that.
It was
that.
Countrywide and we all did it. We were like, this is the way to do it. We all just have a little bowl of cereal for breakfast, a little bowl of cereal for lunch.
I don't think school dinners back then especially helped at all.
No.
There was no real health...
Oh, did you pink custard?
Yes,
I
loved
mean,
it.
What?
Mint
the
custard
hell
as well. Mint custard, pink, yeah, man.
But also, I should go where you have flapjacks in pink custard.
And Rice Krispie cakes.
Oh my God, I still love Rice Krispie cakes.
Yeah. everything and crushed it.
Yeah, it
and was. I didn't go for it.
No.
And we had talk shops.
Yeah, yeah.
At break. And I said it's a bit far, but at the break you could buy a sausage roll for 30p. And
this is the thing.
I got a pound pocket money every week. And I just spend it on three sausage rolls.
And every 3 weeks you can buy another sausage roll from the 30 pence you've saved up from those 3 weeks. That's how I think about it.
You get a fourth.
And
treat week.
Honestly, I'm 29 now, so 17 years later, when I'm paid,
you still think of it in sausage roll money.
I give how many sausage rolls can I buy with that?
But you're still thinking of the prices from your school.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's worse for like high school kids now because of like social media and their
because you were saying like now they've got the internet, they can look up diets, stuff like that, but it means they've also got these things like the Pro Anna websites and sharing like eating disorder tips, and it's more pressure, whereas I was comparing myself to the other girls in my year and the people who lived in my town. I wasn't comparing myself to the world, and so I didn't. That's a very different thing.
I think.
And also we're older around the same age of, we got social media in our late teens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were like angsty teenagers.
On MSN and that was it.
Yeah,
MSN
but
Messenger.
Yeah, but actually not that savvy.
No.
So like, I got Facebook when I was 17 and I used to go on a night out, take 30 pictures, and then I wouldn't even look at them. I'd upload every single one of them. Of me like sweating, just looking disgusting. Whereas now the teenagers are savvy, they're all about filters and looking good. Mm-hmm. We never had that.
I think as well, I do feel sorry for some of these teenagers. You hear about them. And they tweeted something maybe racist or something.
And then they get like, caught out.
Yeah, it's like, but he's 15. Yeah. Like, when he was, we all said horrendous stuff on Room 15.
But it's a witch hunting.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care what they said about gays or black people or whatever the hell. When they were 15, man, we didn't have that when we were 15. We had MSN Messenger and luckily nothing. Imagine if we had Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever the new thing is the kids are using, whatever. It's YouTube. We would have said stupid things. Me and my friends, when we were like, up until maybe, okay, from when I was about 11 up until 17, Batty Boy was just the term that was used for any. Yeah. And this was back when everything was gay. Remember, like, extra homework, that's so gay. Do you have any idea how many tweets we would have had of just me saying, hey, what are you, a Batty Boy or something? I don't play
football. But it's the permanence of things now. Yeah. Like, our permanence thing, like you were saying earlier about you writing this sort of short story, but that was the permanence. You like writing little diaries or like, you know, when you'd like pass a note to someone and then they'd keep it and then they'd show it to someone else. Like, that's not my fucking handwriting. That's not my handwriting.
Could you imagine going
plausible deniability.
Could you imagine being in school today and there's like one of your classmates has 50,000 followers on Instagram. Yeah. Are you really going to listen to teachers at that point?
Hello. Sorry to interrupt us with more, but we wanted to say we're at the show hosted.
The pair of us. It's a dream come true.
We bring in our show set. So why don't you come and see us live?
So I'd recommend going to see Rosie Jones on the 21st to the 25th of January at 8:45 p.m. I'm going on the Wednesday already with my housemate Emma. We're very excited.
And then exactly the week after.
2 weeks after, I think.
Oh, I've bought it.
You've messed it.
2 weeks after, from Monday the 3rd to Saturday the 8th of February, you can see Helen's show.
It's called Little Miss Baby Angel Thighs.
So Google Show Theatre, search our names.
Come see both of us. I think that's the best way to do
it. Do it. Don't choose a favourite. What are you?
We all know who the favourite is. Let's just leave it there. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Our only problem was on MySpace choosing
your seven.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a? You guys would probably weren't doing comedy. I had a MySpace comedy page. The most lamest thing. Because I was like, I want to be a comedian. Oh, everybody got to know I'm a comedian. I had a MySpace comedy page.
You cutie.
I did for a little bit.
What year was this?
Oh, gosh. It must have been 06, maybe.
Oh, my God. I can just see it like, Lily Allen got big on MySpace. It'll be the same for me.
Honestly, I had so many arguments with friends going, why am I in a number 4 on yours? When you're my number 3. Is that freaking
Tom's
me?
Number 1.
Oh, Tom was everyone's number 1. Do you reckon he's doing all right now?
Yeah, you know, he sold it for 60 million.
Good for him.
And he sold it for more than that. He's got 60 million net worth. He's fine, yeah.
Great.
People always, I saw him on Twitter, somebody messaged him and went, I wonder what Tom's doing. And he went, yeah, I sold the company for 100 odd million.
Yeah.
And I made
life.
60 million. It's fine, I'm good.
Did you have Bebo?
Yes.
Did you find it hard to?
I've got a message now. Once carry on. I never had Bebo.
Why are you on your phone when I'm midway through podcasting?
Because I've got a message before they leave. Because
who is it?
My agent.
Oh,
is a Christian.
God.
Tell Christian I say hi.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can you tell him that my posture's really good? Because he told me my posture was bad the other day.
Oh, yeah, you do have bad posture.
No, is that a thing?
You always look like you just come out of a crypt.
Fuck off! What a way to find out that everyone thinks I have bad posture. Yeah. This is awful.
I think it helps if you're on stage, though.
Why?
Because you do that overbearing thing. So having, like... Yeah. being shaped like a bit like an inverted ladle kind of helps.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking god!
I thought it was like a question mark.
I'm not having scoliosis. Like, I'm so livid right now. I don't know what to say.
So hang on, why? So I think I definitely have some sort of a neediness and maybe.
Oh, so now you suddenly want to go back on to attention? It.
Yeah, I want to ask you two why you two do stand up.
No, we were asking the question.
Yeah, but I'm not,
even though I'm so over the moon right now. Thank you so much for asking. Okay. I think it's a need for, like, I think it was a thing I really wanted to do, and I think I knew I wanted to do it for ages, and I was too nervous to do it. Just because I was so scared of failing at it, because I knew what I wanted to do, and I was like, if I do it and I don't do well at it, then what am I going to do? Yeah. So I was just leaving it up.
How long have you been doing it?
4 years now.
Okay, what about you, Rosa?
I've been going 3 years, and I think I started to spite people because when you meet me, they might not think I'm funny. Yeah. So I wanted
to. You have a funny voice and a funny walk. People will think you're funny. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. It's lol. It's
but
lol.
They're not allowed to say it.
Oh,
but
shit. Fuck. No, did I just say it? That was another spike, Jack. Look at that. Oh, I am quite loud. Aren't I?
How was it for you, Rosie, at school, having cerebral palsy and whatnot?
Oh my god, I'm loving it.
Yeah,
it's really good, but I feel like you're sort of like.
Come on,
it's got to a woman that you're sort of taking control.
That is true.
To be honest, you are half a person to me. And you deserve your pay.
What, with my scoliosis?
Yeah.
My scoliosis, Rosie's cerebral palsy.
Can we get back to me?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued as
well. I think because I was always confident in myself and quite clever, and I
was so humble.
And because I would always use comedy to show that I was alright, people didn't really say anything, and when they did, because it was at playgrounds, stupid comments like people would shout, oh, you got a funny walk.
Yeah.
I'd look at them and go,
yeah.
What else? And they'd go, oh. Basically, they couldn't bully me because I'd agree with them.
Yeah, there's not a lot. It's like when someone takes a mick out of someone who's ginger. Yeah. They go, look at you, ginger pubes. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
What else?
So I think it was impossible to bully me. So people.
Yeah.
Gable.
It's almost like that classic Eminem thing, why Eminem did so well in rap, where it was like, you can't take the mick at me for being poor, white, and trash.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm
doing it. It's already
out there, guys. Yeah. There's no real issue.
It's that thing of like when you realize, I think for all comedians, when you're about 17, 18, you're like, oh my God, no one hates me as much as I hate myself.
Oh my
I'm nearly bulletproof now.
You ever think that you love yourself? Just listen to your own audio for a bit. Listen to a set. Listen to your preview. Don't.
Yeah. I am so in that phase right now.
It's fucking worse.
It's awful. It's like me and Helen talked before this, and I told Helen some of my like worries and concerns, and Helen went, in the nicest possible way, no one cares. Like, no one's.
Just to put that in the context, I know I've made fun of Rosie's weird talking and weird walking, and now it sounds like I'm saying that no one cares about her problems. In the context, it was like, don't worry about it because no one is thinking about that.
No one is thinking that deeply about you.
It's all it's in true. Your head that everyone's watching you.
Can I ask another deep question?
Oh my God, yes.
Does doing stand-up comedy make you guys happy?
It makes me happy.
Does it make you happy? Or does it just keep you occupied because you've always got a gig and something to work towards?
I can't dissect that now.
I think about that all the time.
My first, before you asked the second part of that question, I was going to say, yeah, it makes me happy because that's what I do. And it fills my year and it gives me like a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. But is that making you happy?
I think it makes me happy because I miss it when I'm not doing it. But whether I miss it because I miss the busyness of it.
Yeah, you miss looking in your diary.
And also when I say I don't do it, since I've started, I've done 8 nights in a row not gigging, and that's the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was
painful. Yeah, I've never done that. About 11, I think, is mine.
I enjoy it. I feel like, and maybe not in a healthy way, but when someone laughs at my joke, I feel like I'm being fed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's what I need for my soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that's selfish or actually.
It's a combination of you feeling good because you've made someone happy.
Yeah.
And also you making yourself happy because you feel like you've done something good.
I almost never feel like I'm making other people happy, even though, like, technically
you are though.
Yeah,
I always feel like it's a mild sort of mood stabilizer.
Yeah.
Stand up, like,
yeah.
it keeps me mildly sort of chilled, you know, and relaxed, and but I definitely do think about whether if I stop doing it like properly, because I am thinking about that quite a bit now. Because my main thing is I spend a lot of time thinking about stand up and working on material.
Yeah,
doing gigs
yeah.
But what about if I took whatever 10% of that brain usage and just put it into writing a film or acting,
Would
I enjoy that, or would I still need that burst of immediate receipts of laughter?
But I think is why stand ups are slightly different, because you do, it's an immediacy. Like, I need an immediate gratification.
Yeah.
And it is that thing of like, if I have an idea that I think is funny, something funny happens, of course I want to rush to a stage to say it.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to that sharing platform now.
It is. I'll tell you what I think it is for me, and it's probably the same for you. I think the real reason...
Don't put me in the same bracket as you.
Fair enough.
Ever.
I was going to say good people, but all right.
I
think that it's new material that keeps me going.
Oh, but yeah, obviously. Making a new bit work.
It's just that, yeah.
That's my Darren circumcision.
For me, I can't do old material.
Yeah.
Like... Even when I do stuff from last year's show now and people laugh, I get so angry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why are you laughing? That's so obvious.
I completely get this. Obviously, I'm not quite there yet because I'm doing my first show. I've done it already by the time this goes out. But like, I am... Because obviously for this show, like, we're mining a lot of stuff that I've done over the years. Be like, oh, this bit would fit in with that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that it's like new just for the show. But I cannot wait to like cut it and be like, that's that done.
That's a new
Let's start again.
You'll burn all that material.
Yep.
What'll happen is you'll get countless people come to see your show and I'll go, we like that bit. Can we make it into a radio series, a TV show? Blah, blah, blah.
Darren,
burn
you have such
that.
A sunny view of my career.
Get it all out
for
the way.
It.
And then when you start afresh, because I did my last year's show, I finished the tour last year.
Yeah.
Last week, finished it.
Yeah.
And I hated it. Not because the tour was great.
Yeah.
I just hated doing that show so late, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nearly a year. You know, so next year, I'm going to try and get it as quick as I can so I can really start fresh.
And I've got a great question.
Go ahead.
I can't say great question anymore, can I? Right. So you just said that you were like the drama kid.
Yeah.
And then you went to do a BTEC. We were both loser drama kids as well. Not loser drama kids. But do you remember like GCSE drama pieces in year 9? And like, remember like still images being like a way to get more marks?
Oh, God.
Do you remember what topics you did your GCSE drama pieces on? Please tell me you did gangsters. Please.
I can't remember. I just remember my year 11 final show was Othello.
Please tell me you were Othello.
Of course I was.
You passed yourself.
Desdemona and Iliago. Iliago was a girl. Desdemona was this girl who I fucking really fancied. So it was like, she was like my dream girl.
Wait, yeah. Did you cast this or the teacher?
No, well, we were already like friends anyway. So we said, oh yeah, we'll do that. I'll be a fellow. You'll be. And I remember I had to like fake choke her. And I was like, yeah.
And did you get really into it?
Yeah. And she was like my dream. It's recorded somewhere, that is. It was my final test.
Were you still chubby then?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely.
Brilliant. Oh my God, a chubby fellow.
I was still pretty big. I looked like I was just angry because he didn't give me enough onion rings.
Did you ever tell her?
No, I never told her. I never had the confidence, man. No, sorry,
one more question about this Othello when you were 16 years old playing Othello. Did you set it in a crazy modern setting? Were you like, we'll do Othello, but in a car park?
I can't remember, but I remember watching, like, we all watched the modern Titanic. Not Titanic.
The modern Titanic.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
One that was really cheesy.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be
the
modern.
The Leonardo DiCaprio one.
Yeah, that's sad.
I hated it.
I've actually never managed to watch it in full and I don't know why.
And then we did Save the Last Dance as well. We watched that one. I know. That there's a lot of mixed race babies because of that film, dude. I'm telling you.
For our drama piece, we did a bit of Shakespeare in it. We did Ophelia's death because we did a theme piece called Death. Nice. And we had like different death scenes. Some improvised, some devised by us, some just from scripts, and we did like Shakespeare, like all the big hits. Why the fuck are 16-year-olds doing Shakespeare?
Yeah,
how can you at 16 like take on that topic?
I love it so much.
I swear in year 10 we did a topic on Rwandan genocide.
Oh wow.
We were all white, Northeast Hampshire. We were at the Rwandan genocide, death.
Yeah, we just
still
did,
image.
We just did modern black country Othello.
Oh my God, I wish I'd
seen
that.
Where you at, Desdemona? I miss you, I love you.
All right, Desdemona, I'm just going down the shop slighter. Do you need anything, love?
You've left me here, yeah? Well, you betrayed me. What would you betray me?
Oh, Dazzy, I fucking miss you all the time.
No. Fucking hell, shit on the villa.
She's a shiner. Well, I think that you've done really well as an attention seeker to get the attention you need.
Thank you.
Darren, we're going to do something really special for you now.
Yeah.
Because you're our sweet little boy. You know that we love you.
Okay.
Hey, Daddy. Yeah.
Yes.
She's going to take you on, I know, right? Fucking Rosie wearing a Daddy t-shirt.
I'm wearing my favourite t-shirt.
I've watched too much porn. When I think of Daddy, I think of like porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, can Daddy take you on a trip or are you going to get shit
Daddy
about
can
it?
Take me on a trip.
But no, because now when you say I think of porn.
See?
But that's part of it.
Okay, Daddy, take it away.
So, we're going to go on a little trip.
Ooh.
Little Darren. Oh. Little fat Darren.
Oh.
And Daddy. And what we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to the swimming pool.
Oh.
And we're going to get you in some tiny little trunks.
This doesn't sound like a nice day trip for little fat Darren.
It is.
Okay.
This is brutal.
No, I'm with you. I was chubby.
And there's your daddy. I'm going to teach you about body confidence. We're gonna have a little chat because little Darren is beautiful inside and out. And
you can so tell Rosie was not a compulsive overeater as a child, can't you? Were you?
I was a chubby child, but I had the confidence to wear that bikini because I did not give a fuck.
It's like a fat guy doesn't wear a t-shirt in the pool.
I respect
nothing
it.
Nothing but respect for that.
Because actually, who gives a fuck?
No one gives a fuck, but you do.
And no one.
I'm sorry, I interrupt the lovely day trip you were on.
No one's staring at Darren and Daddy, and we're gonna go.
They're probably staring at his tight little trunks and his weird skin hanging off his dick.
We're gonna stroll into the pool.
Ooh, shadow in.
Confident people we are, and Daddy is gonna teach his little boy how to swim.
Cute.
Aww. I do need to learn how to swim.
And then we're going to leave the pool as confident little swimmers. And we're going to go and now treat my little boy to whatever food he wants.
Aww.
What do you want to eat?
Burgers, bean pizzas back then. Was quite popular.
Bean pizzas.
Yes. Tomato pizza and they put beans on it at school.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they had a bean pizza. They baked a bean.
Oh my God, just quickly plug your socials and then let's talk about this.
Yes, at Darren Harriott on everything. HARRIOTT. Just follow me.
Darren's the best.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, Darren, for your words. For telling us about little Darren, and also for going down on women.
Thank you. my service. thank you for having me. It's been really fun chatting to you both.
Also, thank you for the questions. Come, no one ever.
Why not?
Well, Rose is going to take this in the nice way that you asked us questions, whereas I feel like you were trying to be controlling of the podcast.
No, I have.
You felt like we weren't asking questions correctly.
I felt like I was. No, you ask questions, but I just go off on bloody rants for ages.
It felt like a team.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I felt like it felt like he was trying to like override us.
Why is it always a competition?
No, no, it's not always a competition, but this is a competition.
We're friends.
Yeah. We're friendly.
Friends.
My brother told me when I came home from school on the first day and I ran in and I was like, oh my God, I made so many friends. And he was like, friends are people who like you, not people you like. And that ruined me.
Oh,
your brother. Wow, what was he?
Tune in next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
I get to appreciate it. It's Rosie Jones here. And
Helen Bauer.
What? We want you to come on our podcast and chat about being a little girl.
You've already sent me lots of pictures of you as a little girl, and I know it's going to be fascinating. And you're like the queen of podcasts, so just come on down and join us, please.
Can we all celebrate being royalty?
Royalty?
I'm a dame. Dame Daddy.
Thank you, Sophie Caller.
Bye-bye, Sophie.
Deleted.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.